Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, throwing it down on a Monday night meltdown. As the more things change, the more they stay the same. All right? This show isn't even live right now, okay? Like, we can just save this for, like, you know, eternity. In which basically, well, the Atlanta Falcons blew it again. The Atlanta Falcons suck. Well, the Atlanta Falcons choked. The Atlanta Falcons didn't show up tonight. The Atlanta Falcons didn't seem like they cared. The Atlanta Falcons talked smack all night, even though they were losing all night. Matt Ryan's arm is shot. Brian Hoyer sucks. You know, basically, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Kansas City Chiefs won. Yankees won. You know, Rays lost. You know, more things change, more they stay the same. Bill O'Brien sucks. You know, Bill O'Brien at least got fired. I don't know. I was going to say, does that make you feel better? Does it make me feel better? It makes Deshaun Watson feel better. It's funny, just last night I went on a tirade about how Bill O'Brien was ruining Deshaun Watson's career. And here we are right now. Matt Stafford can sympathize, but hey, Stafford, you've already made a lot of money and stuff like that. As Matt Patricia, I don't care, man. Matt Patricia's a worse coach than Dan Quinn, but Dan Quinn needs to be fired. Like, if you don't fire Dan Quinn, like, it's just basically, like, it's gross negligence on the behalf of the Atlanta Falcon organization. Like, at what point? Like what would it take? Like, at what point do you watch the games and say to yourself, well, you know what? I don't know if this is working. Like, no, it's not. It's not, Mr. Blank. It's not. And at this point, I don't know. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, why not just tank and get Trevor Lawrence? You imagine Trevor Lawrence zinging a football with those stud wide receivers as opposed to that old man, Matt Ryan? Old man Ryan. You want that old man Ryan with his fingers on the button? Like, you know, quarterbacks just, like, age, like, rapidly and stuff. Like, Matt Ryan, I said Matt Ryan's turning into Andy Dalton. That's wrong. You know, that's wrong. He's worse. He's like Joe Flacco without a Super Bowl ring. Like, Matt Ryan's going to be one of these guys that's just going to be, like, real bad fast. Like, he won't be playing forever, this guy. Sports Rage Late Night continue. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just played sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Renzi throwing it down. The Monday Night Meltdown. Kansas City Chiefs victorious. Green Bay Packers victorious. So they all remain perfect. Although it's hard to call KC perfect. They really didn't play great. But nevertheless, they're 4-0 right now. And the Green Bay Packers also improved to 4-0. The Atlanta Falcons, 0-4. Bill O'Brien lost his job for being 0-4. You know, normally you don't have a Black Monday this early in the season, but like truth be told, Dan Quinn needs to go. I mean, there's, and I know, you know, now their schedule gets easier and stuff. And it's not just Dan Quinn, but they actually, like, it's time now. Like, who's the backup quarterback there? Matt Schaub? Like, you guys, your quarterback, if you took the arm strength of both your quarterbacks, you couldn't throw it 50 yards. Like, it's time in Atlanta right now. You guys need to start thinking about a quarterback. Like, I don't know if you want to run him out of town now, this year, like, into next year, but, like, Matt Ryan can't be playing. Matt Ryan can't be the Atlanta Falcon quarterback 2 years from now. Like, maybe next year is his last year, but the guy's hitting a wall. He's got no velocity. He's not mobile, and he's a choker. Other than that, he's great. Let's bring in George Kurtz right now. What's going on, George?
So you're not the president of the Matt Ryan fan club. Have I got that right?
No. Well, it's, you know, people, we can blame Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn needs to go. I mean, but two things can be right as well. You know, like, look, dude, tonight, Greasy, and I don't often hear the broadcast because I'm normally on during the games, but, you know, I heard a lot of this broadcast tonight in between shows, and it's pretty bad, like, when Greasy is calling you out the way that he is. And I respect Greasy. All right? Greasy was a good quarterback. Greasy, you know, listen, Tom Brady was Greasy's backup, all right, at Michigan. Brian Greasy won a national championship with the Michigan Wolverines. He was an adequate quarterback in the NFL. So at least, you know, he's got a little bit of credibility. And a great example tonight, George, there was a free play, all right? Green Bay clearly jumped offside, George. What did Matt Ryan do? Matt Ryan sort of stood around for a second, ran 2 yards and slid. Brian, like Greasy said, what would Aaron Rodgers do? Strike in the end zone? And they showed the stats of Aaron Rodgers, like in his career, he's got like 14 touchdown passes or something on free plays. Like basically when he sees it's a free play, like he'll go to the end zone. Like not just throw it, but he's like, all right, I'm going to the end zone now. It's a free play. Matt Ryan just slides. Like, I don't know. Matt Ryan's been in the league for how many years now, bro? And is there a guy other than Daniel Jones who has less pocket awareness that you're about to be hit from behind? I mean, for the love of God. It's like at some point, you know what I mean? Like as humans, you know, like, you know, kids will figure out, all right, if I step onto the street, I'll get hit by this truck, right? Like they understand the laws of physics. Matt Ryan doesn't seem to understand that. Like, he drops back, and he has no idea that he's about to get hit, even though he's been back there for 8 seconds. Like, the guy's just a moron. I don't know. I could go on and on, but, like, he's like Andy Dalton. He's turned into Andy Dalton.
I can't argue with you much. I mean, I've been on Ryan. I've said many times that if Ryan was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, he would be getting killed. Because he does sort of the same things that Romo does. He wins regular season games, doesn't win big games. Yes, he should have won the Super Bowl if they would have done a little bit better offensive game planning there. But other than that, he's made a lot of mistakes here. As far as him going away, it's no time soon. I mean, he signed through 23, but more importantly, dead cap next year would be $49, almost $50 million. So he's not going anywhere next year. He's the quarterback. In 22, it's half that, $26.5 million. He's probably the quarterback then, too. He took a 23 is the earliest they can really get out of that contract where the dead cap money would only be $8.6 million. Then he's a free agent the year after that. So they're stuck with him for a while. He's not going anywhere, especially with the cap. Cap's going to stay stagnant next season. Then we'll see what happens with fans. Maybe his new TV contracts really start to kick in there.
Well, they're not going anywhere then.
But the Falcons are stuck with him.
Well, they're not going anywhere then. Like, they're not winning with this guy. They made it to the Super Bowl with this guy in the past, and they're not going back. That's that. It's over. Like, it's not like, oh, he's got another run left in him. He's done. Like, it's done. And the way they're going, like, I don't know, they could be one of the worst teams in the NFL. Look at their defense. They can't stop anything. You know, if they're trying to tank, then they're going to keep Dan Quinn. Like, if that's the deal. If they're going to tank. you know, they're going to keep Dan Quinn. But just imagine if they got Trevor Lawrence and they got a real quarterback. You know, like I said, they're 0-4 too. The Jets might suck, but so do the Falcons right now, George.
It's funny. There are a lot of teams that suck, right? I mean, you can go up and down the league here. You either have the good teams or bad teams. The fight for Trevor Lawrence or Fields is going to be very interesting. I'm wondering if a team like, I assume the Falcons would take Lawrence or Fields if they finished one, but what if somebody already has a quarterback? What if Minnesota keeps imploding? I know they won this week, but you know, what if they get the number one pick? Would they take Lawrence over Cousins? Don't they pay him that money?
Well, be tough to do. Obviously over Kirk Cousins, yeah.
Now, Jacksonville is not as bad as we thought. You know, they're a bad team. The Jets are the worst team. Are the Jets going to go 0-16, 1-15? Who are the Jets beating? Denver?
Yeah. Yes, the Jets are going to go
the Jets.
The Jets are probably going to end up being the worst team the way they position themselves already. Only I say that because, look, Jacksonville's won a football game. Detroit's not trying to tank, you know, even subconsciously. So Detroit will find a way to win two or three games or something before Matt Patricia's useless ass gets fired too. You're right. There's a lot of bad football teams, and a lot of these teams are going to have a decision to make because they're going to have, you know, already going to have their quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew's a 6th-round draft pick. You can throw him under the bus easily. Like, if you're the New York Jets, I mean, everyone's always high on Sam Darnold all the time. So it'll be bye-bye Sam Darnold, right? And what do you do with Sam Darnold? You going to trade him? Who wants him? What are you going to get for him? Like, it's just one of those.
That's the problem.
It's one of those deals. And we've seen Cam Newton was an MVP quarterback, and it was like, yeah, whatever. Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards. The guy's a third-string quarterback right now. Seems to be a pretty, like, look at Marcus Mariota. Annual playoff quarterback to, like, forgotten. Like, these guys will throw you under the bus fast in the NFL at the quarterback position. Not just Colin Kyle. You don't have to protest the anthem to get thrown under the bus in this league.
No, you don't. It'll be interesting to see if the Jets. I think the Jets are the worst team in football. And if they get that number one pick, I assume they're taking
it. Giants are pretty bad,
once again.
What are the Giants?
Yeah, but Giants have played Washington twice. Giants have played a couple of good games. I mean, if Daniel Jones doesn't implode late in games, they're right there with Pittsburgh, right? They're right there with the Rams. They played a couple of good games and a couple of stinkers.
I'm taking them against your Cowboys, actually. We were talking about this game earlier. Cowboys are laying 9.5.
Take the over.
Oh, we're going to take the over, but the Giants average 11 points a game. So we're betting an over of a game with one team that averages 11 points. Like, I don't know, like, honestly, you see them. They're worse now under Joe Judge than they were with Shermer. They're a worse football team. And Daniel Jones seems like worse off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at least Shermer, I don't know. Like, before he had Eli and Shermer was an offensive guy. And there seemed to be, like, at least a direction with
Daniel. They've got issues.
There's no direction now with
the Giants.
There's no direction with Joe. He's running around on his own. It's like he's not getting coached. Judge is concerned about the defense. The defense is playing better, but the offense goes nowhere fast, and they end up losing in the end all the time. Like I said, I get it. Like, the Giants are rebuilding, but we see these coaches come in, and they're making things worse. Like, the Giants weren't this bad last year. I mean, they would win some games, but I guess, you know, in the big picture, the Giants are competing, as you stated. They competed with the Rams. Look, George, they played good on the road. The Giants played okay at the Bears. They hung around in that game. They hung around with Pittsburgh at home in week one until the second half. You know, their worst game of the year was the game against San Francisco. They got blown out. They are working hard. I'll give them that. And as you stated, it comes down to Daniel Jones not being an idiot. But I don't know, man. Like, these quarterbacks just are who they are. And you know, I've bigged up this kid a lot. But, man, his stock is falling fast in my eyes. But with that being stated, I do love that over 54 with the Giants and the Cowboys. More George Kurtz on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due! He's spinning the ball on his finger! Just take it! Take the ball! That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Yeah, yeah, we should just replace that with the, you know, the Generals with the Falcons. We really should. Just insert Falcons. Just, you know, instead of the Generals. You bet all your money on the Falcons? Were you crazy? Were you stupid? Were you a moron? Yes, check. Correct. Si, senor. We, da, and whatever other language you want to come up with. What's the definition of moron? Look it up. You know, you look up the definition of moron, you'll see a picture of me. And you'll see an Atlanta Falcon logo. That's what you'll see when you look up the definition of moron. So we break it down on the Monday Night Meltdown. So, all right, we were talking NFL football with Kurtz. Of course, Kurtz, a Cowboy fan, but also a New York Yankee fan. And there's another loss that we had. Started off the day so well, too, in that Houston game. But then the wheels fell apart. You know, it's like the tricycle fell apart. It's like it was like a tragic Charlie Chaplin, you know, black and white reel or something like that today. Or I should say it's more like Benny Hill with the Atlanta Falcons. Just, you know, it's one of these nights tonight. It's normally, George, I do this every day. I bet all the time or whatever. I really don't get as mad as I used to. I used to get like this often every night. Like I'd really hate the team that like lost and stuff. But I blame myself. I don't blame the Falcons for sucking. I blame myself for, like, betting on them. And I took them plus the points. I had them in teasers. And it's just, you know, it's one thing to lose a bet. It's another thing to lose a bet on a team that you know that screws you all the time. And here we are again. I'm having a hard time getting over it, Kurtz.
Yeah, I think we all have those teams, right, that we can't win on. And we always say we're going to stay away from it, but we always go back. We always get sucked in for some reason. Yeah. I think what annoys me the most, what you're talking about, it gets on me too, and I know better. I know I never went on this team, yet I go back to them. You know, you and I joked, I think it was 2 years ago, well, the Mets won like 18 games in a row. The one game they lost, I bet on them. And never go back to them again. It's always even a bug on a certain night. But what frustrates me is when, you know, I'd rather get blown out by, like if you bet the under in a Dallas-Cleveland game yesterday. You weren't close. I lost. Big deal. I'll move on. But when you lose once something that's close, like I had the Blake Snell over 4.5, whatever strikeout total was tonight. I lost by a half. Lost by the hook, and that's frustrating. That annoys me. You know, other than that, you know, loss is going to come. Certainly with the amount of games that you bet, you're going to lose. I was on the Falcons tonight, too. We said it with Cam last night. I thought they would lose the game but cover the 7. That didn't quite happen.
No, and it even came down to 5. Everybody started jumping in on the Atlanta Falcons in this game. So, well, at least, you know, you can take solace in the fact that the New York Yankees were victorious tonight. In a baseball game that went back and forth early, finally the Yankees break it open and win the baseball game 9-3. And in a 5-game series, listen, in any playoff series, obviously every game is important, but in a 5-game set, game one, you know, every game is just big. Yeah, it just is. And especially when you got Garrett Cole on the hill, you know, now basically the Rays have put themselves in a position that they're going to have to be able to beat Gerrit Cole moving forward. And, you know, we brought this up tonight, you know, and I should have known better, but, you know, the Rays were 8-2 this year. But, George, you know this being a Yankee fan. Aaron Judge didn't play in six of those games. I think Stanton missed four of them. LeMahieu didn't play in a bunch of them. They were never really, like, fully loaded, all right, when they played against the Rays this year. And we see it come to pass tonight. But nevertheless, game two tomorrow, Glasnow goes for the Rays against Garcia. And I'll tell you what, Glasnow was, like, filthy against the Blue Jays. Like, he was nasty. Nine strikeouts. Like, he was really on top of his game, really on top of his stuff. So they send the youngster on the hill here tomorrow. The kid gets the start for the Bombers. What's your take on this game? As the Rays are small favorites, -115.
I actually took the Rays in the series. I thought the fact that they did go 8-2. I don't care who played for the Yankees. The pitching is all Rays here. Today was the one matchup that was in the Yankees' favor. Not massively in the Yankees' favor, but you'll take Cole over Snell. Yankees look good again. They've now hit, what, is it 11 home runs in three playoff games against Bieber, Carrasco, and Snell starting? That's impressive. That's impressive. They're a different team again right now. They look like that team that won, what, 10 games in a row, whatever it was, not the 5-15 team. They're playing well on all cylinders. They're not making mistakes. Cole only went six innings, really didn't have his best stuff tonight, but the bullpen is fresh. Scoring those extra runs in the ninth inning was big. It saved you Chapman for tomorrow. But once again, you said it, Glasnow against and we have no idea what Garcia is going to do tomorrow. He's a rookie. He's made, what, five starts? We'll see, but no one knows.
You know he's not going to go back to gem. Like, I doubt
that's why it was so big.
Like, they're not going to tempt fate, right? Like, if he pitches really, really well, like two times through
the
rotation.
He won't go three times through the lineup.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to say, well, let's see if the kid can give us seven. They'll be like, nah, get him out after four, you know?
Right. He will not go three times through the lineup. He won't do that because the Yankees will realize, even if you have to blow out your bullpen somewhat tomorrow, if you get a win there, I don't think Tampa Bay should win in three straight days. I don't think that. So the Yankees should go all out to win tomorrow. But like I said, it's an unknown. We don't know what Garcia is going to do. And if they lose tomorrow, listen, they got Tanaka going against Morton on Wednesday. Tanaka's been terrible. It was terrible last week. It was terrible in his last couple of starts in the regular, whatever they want, you want to call it this season. So the Yankees can't feel all that confident about that. And if it goes to Thursday, I don't think they know who is starting. Hap? Montgomery? Anybody have confidence there? You know, I imagine the Rays would probably go with some sort of bullpen game, which they do so often. So I said today was really important for the Yankees to win because now it gives them a little breathing room. They can relax a little bit. And if Glasnow's wild tomorrow, which he can be at times, he's got great stuff. But sometimes he's wild. He doesn't know where the ball's going. If he's that kind of person tomorrow, it could play into the Yankees' favor.
FanDuel has a new series price listed even after tonight's baseball game. Yankees are now -270 to win the series. Tampa Bay Rays +220 to come back. And, yeah, listen, the Rays are a resilient team. They're not going to roll over because they lost this baseball game. And Gerrit Cole really is one of the best pitchers in the game. And like George stated, so you're sending this kid. How old is Garcia? 21, 22? It's 21, I think. I think he's 21, 21, right? Yeah, he's 21. Like, he's a kid. So, but a lot of the, you get these guys out there sometimes, and they're too, like, you know the saying, George, he's too young, he's too dumb, young and dumb to know any better, right? He doesn't know. Like, he doesn't feel pressure. He doesn't know. Like, it's one of those, some of these kids just don't care, and they don't realize. You'll often see that. All right, so let's blast through the games tomorrow. Early game is the Marlins and the Braves. Marlins and the Braves. We got Alcantara and Fried on the hill here. What's your take on this one?
Should be a low-scoring game. You got the aces for both teams here. Both guys, I mean, Alcantara throws hard. Fried is, he throws mid-90s, but he's more of a field pitcher. He's going to hit his spots. I mean, you have to like the Braves, because when the pitching's even, in this case it's close to even, I would give the edge to the Braves here with Fried, but the Braves can hit, right? We know they got a much better offense than the Marlins, especially if Marte, I can't see how he's playing, although they haven't made up their mind to put him on the roster yet with that fractured pinky. How can you swing a bat? I can't see that healing in 5 days. So I think it's a big edge. When the pitching's close, you're going to go with the Braves here. We know it's going to take one shot from Acuna, maybe, one shot from Ozuna, Freeman. I'll go with the Braves tomorrow.
You know, I tell you, the Marlins, nice payback, +167 payback for the Miami Marlins. I'm not really in a hurry to be laying -192, but I do think the Braves are going to win the series. As well, and doesn't it just feel like, George, we're sort of, you know, it's funny because it's easy for me to say this now because I did, you know, I like the Rays in the series, but I was thinking about it tonight. I was on Houston today, but wouldn't it just be fitting, Houston and the Yankees? You know, there's a lot of bad blood. It'd be your opportunity for payback. I was on Houston today, and they get it done. They're, you know, they're, it's sort of like the Patriots. They're motivated by everyone's hate towards them, and, you know, they're winning right now. They're sort of playing with house money, the Astros, as well. What do you make of this baseball game? A lot of pressure on the Athletics, and quite frankly, an Athletic team that hasn't had a lot of postseason success. I mean, that wild card series win, and yeah, you want, I don't know, that's not really even real a playoff win, but whatever. That's like the first series they've won in a long time. It's like I said, like the A's are one of these teams. They, you know, they're good in the regular season, but then they choke in the playoffs all the time. I think Houston are going to knock them off, but the question is, do they win again tomorrow, Houston?
Well, interesting decision here today in this game, right? And tomorrow's almost similar. Well, actually, I think it is similar. No Zach Greinke.
Yeah, what are they doing? I mean, what are they saving him for? What's Dusty's like madness?
I don't know.
Is he like game 3 and 7 or like 5? Like, there is no 7. And the thing is, Greinke pitched well, right, in his start, George. So it's not like, well, he got lit up, so we're kind of shaky on him. Like, what's the deal with this?
And it's not like they have an abundance of starters, right? Oh, we have a big stable here. We can pitch anybody. No, you don't.
No, you're starting Framber Valdez.
Valdez tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, I haven't heard a reasoning for this. You know, I have not heard what why he's doing this. Him going game two instead of game one, maybe needed the extra days.
Yeah, McCullers was he hasn't pitched in 9 days. He, you know, he had 9 strikeouts. And listen, he pitched well, right? So I don't know. I don't know, because it's not like one of those, like a best of three, George, right? Because that's what I was thinking earlier. Like, what's your game plan here? It's not like a best of three where it's like, all right, we're saving our best guy for game two. Or even like, remember, like St. Louis rolled the dice with Flaherty in game 3, et cetera, that we talked about. Yeah, I don't understand the method to the madness here with Greinke, unless there's something wrong with him that we don't know about, George.
I haven't heard anything, but that's what the first thing I thought of is something bothering him. You know, the fact that he's not even announced for game 3? No, they haven't announced their start for game 3 yet, which is even more strange. I mean, is something wrong with Greinke here? Because, listen, you have to go game 1. Cole goes game 1 for the Yankees so they can pitch somewhat in game 5. Wouldn't you do the same thing with your ace?
Yeah, it's baffling. All right, hang in here, George. We'll quickly hit the other games on the other side. Los Angeles Dodgers. Too bad for San Diego that, you know, they lost Clement and Clevinger. But, hey, it is what it is. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
My name's Bobby and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Hey, Bobby. All right, Bobby. Bobby. More Trades Late Night continues. George Kurtz kicking with us. All right, great job, Master Control, Midtown Manhattan. Our boy Yank getting it done here this evening. We were just talking some baseball right now. And Zach Greinke's situation. And, you know, I was thinking that it was something wrong with him, but basically Dusty Baker point blank doesn't trust him, essentially, in which Dusty Baker tells local media that Greinke hasn't been sharp in his last 3 starts. Lance has been exceptionally sharp, and we want to keep Framber on a pretty regular rotation because Framber has been one of our best. When asked if Greinke would pitch game 3, they're undecided between him and Urquidy right now. Like, this is what it, like, the thing is, we know about Greinke's psyche, George, in the past, too. Are you really helping this guy? Because, what, are you not pitching him in the 5 games? So, what are you going to do? You're going to throw him in here now in a game 4? Wow, we didn't trust you at all, but now go save our ass now late in the series, George. This is a weird approach by Dusty Baker to publicly basically state that his pitching hasn't warranted him a start. Like, that's a little harsh, isn't it?
It is harsh, especially for a guy who's also signed with the team. It's not like he's going anywhere. Like, he's a
free agent. six-time All-Star and a Cy Young Award winner, too, right? Let's add. And as you stated, yeah, he signed for a lot of money.
I mean, Dusty's not wrong as far as what he's pointing out. I mean, over his last five starts, he had a 6.07 ERA, a 1.43 whip. The playoff game against Minnesota, he went four innings, one run, two hits, three walks. Not terrible. The walks are concerning somewhat. But you're right. I mean, this is a weird situation that you think all these guys are better than Greinke. On the season, I mean, he was 4.03 ERA. Obviously, the last couple of starts.
I'll tell you what, George.
Built that up.
This is ballsy by Dusty Baker, isn't it? Like, not a lot of managers would have the balls to leave a pitcher that makes that much money out of the rotation right now. You know, like,
especially
Dusty, like, clearly.
Team. He's not going anywhere. How do you justify this? How do you talk to Greinke next year?
Yeah, I know. Like, well, I don't know. I'm baffled by this. It's unheard of. So, like, what, like, Dusty, what, you don't trust him? Like, not even for game three? Yeah, he's pitching game three? And then even Dusty now, and Dusty says no, and he's not available out of the bullpen either. They said no, he's not available out of the bullpen. So, what, you're not using Zach Greinke in this series, Dusty? Is this your deal? You better win the series, bro.
You know, if there was an injury, we'd all understand this, right? But if Dusty was covering for him, he would say something different. He wouldn't throw him under the bus right here. Well, he's not pitching well. You know, it's a strange situation. You put yourself in a bad spot here because you're right. If they lose, let's say he's going to go game four. You're down 2-1. Hey, you just said it. Zach, can you save our butts, you know, before we get eliminated here? How do you go back to him? How can Zach have any faith in Dusty? You know, especially with his, and you mentioned he's a nutcase as it is, right? He's a little
Now he knows the manager doesn't trust him. Like, point blank. It's not even an if, George. Like, it's not. The manager doesn't trust you.
That's why I'm surprised Dusty would have said that. Why didn't he, you know, give some cardboard cutout reason why? Oh, you know, we think it'd be better with a couple of days extra rest,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
Analytics. Yeah, analytics, matchups. Yeah, you know, our matchup, our guys told us. Exactly, you know. Come up with
anything. Lie about it. Why do you? It's one time I probably don't tell the truth. You know,
it's an interesting situation.
See how this blows up.
Like Dusty offends people. Like he does. Like he doesn't care. You know what I mean? He's like, well, I'm managing to win this series, and if I hurt feelings, that's so be it, right? And he's probably thinking Dusty probably won't even be there next year. Dusty's probably thinking maybe, you know what? I'm not even going to be here. Like, I'm doing this just for a one-off. I'm out of here after this. I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't care. I got to tell you what, if I was that Greinke, I'd want the hell out of there, though. Like this, and any other team, this would be a major controversy. Like, imagine, like, they didn't pitch Syndergaard in a five-game series or something, George.
Oh, this happened in New York, you know, Boston, Philadelphia. Yeah,
come on.
You know, this guy's got $206 million contract.
Yeah, people would flip.
I'm looking at it now. Let's see. So he signed a 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Next year's his last year. So he is with Houston next year, making about $38 million a year. And you're not pitching him in the playoffs.
I don't know. If you're the owner, don't you have some questions about this?
Unless the GM okayed this. You bring up an interesting point, though. If Dusty knows he's not coming back, then he doesn't care. I don't care. I'm not going to be here next year anyway. I don't care if he's ticked off. Let the next guy deal with this.
But I think Dusty is coming back. Pinch. I don't know. He's old, bro. He took the job in a pinch. Maybe he doesn't like this COVID crap. You know what I mean? Maybe he doesn't like the cheating stuff.
That would make sense. If something like that happens where he's not coming back next year, then I can buy all of this. And I have no problem with this. Go ahead, Dusty, do whatever you want to do. You don't care. It's why it's always interesting to me in sports. You know, people think, why is the GM doing this?
Series?
Why is the GM?
Let's say they win, and then what? Hey, Zach, everything's fine now, buddy.
Senile.
We didn't trust you.
But you'll be great against the Yankees next round. You'll be fine. You know, whatever. Like I said, but it's why, Gabe, I always find it interesting where we criticize GMs sometimes for the moves they make. Because people think GMs are going to have a job for life. Sometimes GMs realize if I don't get in the playoffs now, if I don't win now, I'm not going to have a job next year. What do I care about a number one pick? Three number ones, whatever it might be. I need to win now, else next year just doesn't matter to me. So that's why I think sometimes you see weird trades in all sports because they're thinking now, not tomorrow.
Oh, you're totally right. Exactly. Bill O'Brien acted that way in Houston, and look what it got him. He still couldn't win with that. You're right. But, you know, you raise a good point, though, George, as far as decisions like this are made with management, George, not the ownership group. I mean, the old man owner's not like sitting in on meetings about who the starting pitchers are going to be, but the scouting department, the GM, the, you know, pro personnel directors, et cetera. Dusty Baker's not just sort of telling the organization, oh, by the way, I made the decision not to start Greinke, right? I don't buy that, even with Dusty Baker. Like you said, when you're paying a guy $30 million, $38 million a year, there's going to have to be explanations or permission. Like, oh, by the way, yeah, I'm not starting this guy. And this is why I'm not starting him. And if you want to win, but I don't know. I just think it's harsh. Like, I would roll him out here. Personally, I trust Zach Greinke enough to start. I mean, the guy's pitched in World Series before, George. Like, you know what I mean?
If there's no injury, I'm with you. I'm starting him. Yeah. I could sort of buy the McCullough's thing, even though he hadn't pitched in 9 days, so there's a chance for some rust there. But there's no way. There's no way I'm not pitching him in the first three games. If you want to tell me, okay, whatever analytics tell you, it's not going to change. You're playing the same team here. Unless his numbers against Oakland are horrific, which I didn't look up offhand. Has he pitched against Oakland this season? Last time against Oakland, I mean, he didn't pitch great, but it wasn't terrible. 3 runs in 5 innings. And his start before that was no runs in 6 innings. So he's given up 3 runs in 11 innings against Oakland. That's pretty good. You know, so it makes little sense. Like I said, I never get why these managers are doing it. But one thing I do agree with you on, 100% on, is I doubt Dusty Baker did this on his own. I imagine we know baseball. It's all analytics today. And assuming Houston has a big analytic department as most teams, they're told what to do. You know, the Yankees are pretty much told what your lineup should be. All Boone is deciding is who comes in there from the bullpen and when.
Oh, exactly. And listen, Dusty would be a guy that would be anti that, but also he's not going to start a freaking war in the middle of the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to start a war with the organization. Like, well, I'm doing this and screw you. And like, and we would hear that there would be problems in that room. It would come out that, wow, what the hell's going on in there? But you know, to be honest, Valdez has been good down the stretch, George. He really has been. And Urquidy, he's been good too. For them. So, you know, like I said, Dusty's rolling the dice. So the Dodger game's off the board. And speaking of pitching, because San Diego, TBD right now, at least as of right now, George, you know, all sports books have this off. We know that Walker Buehler's going for the Los Angeles Dodgers, but we don't know about San Diego right now.
We do know it won't be Dinelson Lamet. He's not going to pitch. I don't think it'll be Clevinger either. I think Clevinger will pitch in this series, but probably not game one. I don't know if he's ready to pitch game one. He just had that bullpen on Sunday. You're going to throw him in game one? I mean, I would think he goes game two. You got to feel bad for the Padres. Not only are you playing the Dodgers, right, which is rough enough as it is, and they should have reseeded, by the way. How about Dodgers not end up playing the Miami, whatever, baseball. But you don't have Clevinger because he gets hurt late. You don't have Lamet, he gets hurt late. I mean, my God, and you want to play the best team in baseball, right? So it's a rough situation for the Padres here. I love the way this team is headed. They're going to be a good team. You give this team another year or two, give those young players time to mature, and they have a farm system. They have more guys coming up. I mean, this is going to be a dynamite team. This team will battle with the Dodgers eventually. I don't think they're ready to do it right now. I don't think it matters who pitches tomorrow. They lose.
Well, you know what? Listen, Zach Davies has been all right. You know what I mean? I mean, to me, that's seems to be the way. I think that's what they're going to do. But their challenge is they just don't have a lot of arms, guys. Right? And, you know, they're talking about, you know, potentially playing 5 games in 5 days. So they're looking at the big picture about, like, you know, mate, I could honestly see them rolling guys out, George, and say, all right, Davies, you know, you're pitching. We're going to try to get, you know, 3-4 innings out of you, and then we're going to roll you out again in 2 days type thing. Like, we don't know, like, what their plan is, and that's the big thing right now, that the organization is meeting and trying to put a plan together for the challenge of a potential five games in 5 days with limited arms. It's going to be a lot of their bullpen, George. It's going to be a lot of their bullpen.
Oh, we saw that on the games 2 and 3 last week, right? They threw, I think, 8 and 9. They may have more than 9 guys in one game. It was nuts, and they had no choice because they had no starters left. You can't lose 2 starters this late.
Remember when you and I talked about it, too? They said Zach Davies. He said, yeah, we're going to have to get, like, you know, we need, like, 6 or 7 from Zach today. They pulled him after, like, 2-3 innings that night, George. I remember we were talking about it on Friday.
Yeah,
and they went to the pen. I was like, man, they said that they needed – him, and he wasn't even that bad, but they had a quick hook with him. I swear, they like that. I think it's overmanaging, personally, George. I think these guys with all these pitching changes all the time, it's just over the top. But that's what they do. That's the modern game right now, analytics.
I agree with you there, too. This is exactly what we talked about on Friday. A lot of overmanaging. And a lot of young managers haven't been here before. They get a little nervous. You don't want to let a guy go through. You know, you don't want to let him work it out. I get it. It's a playoff game. You can't let him figure it out. Right? And then games, too. Both games they played in were elimination games. Right? They would have lost either one. They were done. So I get it. But I think they got to be careful here. Because, the Padres, if you told the Padres right now you're going to play game five on Saturday, they'll take that. They'll take a game five. I don't think it gets that far. But they'll take it.
And you know what Tingler's saying? You know, and it's totally his attitude, and I believe him on this. He says basically that everybody's available on Tuesday. They totally live one game at a time, this team. And I don't have a problem with it, George. Like, he basically, you know what I mean? You can tell, like, that's how he managed through the last series. It's like, I'll deal with that problem when I cross that bridge later tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he's saying. He's saying basically everyone's going to be available on Tuesday. Everyone's fresh, and we're going to take it from there. I like his attitude.
I think he's right. How else is he going to take it? I mean, Clevenger will pitch. No. So but even when Clevenger pitches, how many innings can Clevenger go? How many pitches can he throw?
That's another thing. Three innings. 40 pitches.
He's not going deep. Right? He's not going deep. I'm a little surprised they didn't try and activate Mackenzie Gore or Patino, their top young starters.
George Kurtz, great stuff, George, tonight. Enjoy talking baseball. George Kurtz, Sports Grid's very own. Thanks, George.
Be good, guys.
Sports Race late night. Quickest 120 minutes of sports winding down. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night. Quickest 120 minutes in sports was no exception here this evening. Shout out to everybody tuning in on a mighty air 1090 as we throw it down in SoCal tonight and, of course, across the country or whatever country you might be tuning in because we're international, baby. We got people worldwide that are rageaholics. So we got the New York Yankees tomorrow coming off a 9-3 win. They're sending a kid to the hill tomorrow. They're sending a kid to the hill tomorrow. Garcia has really come out of nowhere right now. And the Rays have never faced Garcia before. I think that's one of the reasons why the Yankees like rolling out this kid in this spot. The fact that the Rays have never seen him before. Obviously, they're going to have tape. Garcia is New York's top pitching prospect. He made his Major League Baseball debut on August the 30th. 33 strikeouts and 34 and a third innings. That's the thing with the Yankees, man. When the Yankees have a swagger and the Yankees are healthy, like, they have reason to have a swagger. Dangerous baseball team. Dangerous baseball team. And, you know, I don't know, man. I'm going to snap, actually. I'm going to freaking snap if it ends up being the Dodgers and the Yankees in a World Series. I've been waiting for a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, a rematch, since 1981. All right, Dodgers and Yankees played in the World Series in 1981. They haven't played in the series since. And, you know, it's Major League Baseball's dream matchup, old school Brooklyn Dodgers versus the New York Yankees, you know, one of the greatest rivalries in the history of any sport. There's just so much magic to it. You know, you get New York, L.A., it's just special. But, you know, Dodgers-Yankees, there's something really special about that. And I've lived in Los Angeles and I've lived in New York and it's never happened. I did Dodgers in Boston Yeah, it was sort of close, but yeah, whatever. And I knew the Dodgers were going to lose, so I didn't want to go to Boston to watch them lose. Sports Rage Late Night. Shout out to Bobby and Kurt. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.